And the lesson is taken from verses 20 to 28. Lessons entitled "The Greatness in Serving." And you remember that the sons of the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus and asked him to grant that her sons may sit one on Jesus' right hand and the other on the left in his kingdom. Jesus said, answering in verse 22, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" He said to him, "We are able." In verse 23, Jesus said, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not moment to give, but it's for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." And the 10 disciples or apostles heard it. They were greatly displeased with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for men." So we said that James was the first disciple in terms of sacrifice. There is no reward without a sacrifice. We must be willing to give up something in order to get something. There is nothing free in life. There's nothing free in life. And so we know that by historical account that James, the Apostle James, was the first of the disciples to be martyred. And John had to endure hard days on the Isle of Patmos, and we read that in the book of Revelation. These three believers wanted their will, not God's will, and they wanted it their way. And so we said they were thinking like the world. James and John wanted to lord it over them and the other disciples in verse 25. And the way the unsaved Gentiles rulers lorded over them, their subjects. But their request was fleshly or sensual, because they were selfishly asking for glory for themselves and not for the Lord. That is the greatest problem today. The greatest problem is we are selfish people. When we pray, 9 times out of 10, we're praying for things for ourselves. Yeah? And that's nothing wrong with that. And so no doubt, they felt relieved that they had gotten to Jesus with the request before Peter did. And we said that the request was not only of the world, but of the flesh, but was also of the devil. Yeah? It was motivated by pride, and because Satan had the same pride in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15, which you read last week, and that he himself was an angel in heaven and was cast down. Yeah? Because of his pride. And Satan, remember, Satan offered Jesus a throne and was refused. Remember, after Jesus' baptism, he was taken to the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. What did Satan offer Jesus? What did Satan offer Jesus? He said, "Cast yourself down. If you're the Son of Man, cast yourself down. Your Father will lift you up." He also took commandment. He said, "If you know, because you're so hungry, turn these stones into bread." Remember what Brother Paul said, and interesting, Jesus never performed a miracle for his own benefit. Jesus never performed a miracle for his own benefit. Isn't that interesting? But we do things for whose benefit? For our own benefit. Yeah? There's nothing wrong with that. But we ought to, as the scriptures say, greatness is in what?
Service.
Greatness is in service. If I ask you to do something for me, what's the first thing you're going to think? How much you're going to pay? What's in it for me? Am I right? You know how we think? Your children, you ask your children to do something, and they're going to think in their minds, well, what you going to do? Are you going to give me something? You see that? And so, Satan magnifies the throat, the end, but not the means to the end. Satan will make you a promise, but he won't tell you the consequences. Isn't that right? You have a friend like that, listen, drink this, do this, huh? Come follow me. But have you really thought about the consequences of our actions after done? If I knew then what I know now, what would you have done? Would you have made a different choice? Of course, Bill. Come on now. You know we have bias remorse. Bias remorse. Huh? Because the thing in our mind is not always a thing in reality. Isn't that right? You have your mind, man, I want to get me a new phone, I want to get me a new whatever. And when you get the thing, it's like, this ain't even all that. You know? Huh? You go out, you get dressed up, you go out drinking, but nobody tells you about the hangover. Nobody tells you that you might, like some of my co-workers, a few weeks ago, we had our office Christmas party. And one of my coworkers said, man, I lost everything. I don't even know how I got home. We're living in a dangerous world today. You could have ended up on the side of the road. Somebody could have picked you up, assaulted you. But you're not thinking about that. Consequences. Yeah? And so, Jesus warned Salome and her sons that the special thrones were available to those who were worthy of them in verse 23. Yeah? And then in chapter 19, in verse number 38, says what? Matthew 19, and verse 38, says what? Actually, there's no 28, sorry. I'm going to read that, Matthew 19, verse 28.
Verse 28. So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, yeah, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his kingdom, yes, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes.
So Jesus had already made these disciples a promise that they would judge. So there was no need for their mother to come and ask for this. But you know what our problem is? We have selective amnesia. We hear God's word, but we don't remember God's word. Isn't that right? Huh? When the rubber meets the road, what happened to Judas? What happened to Judas? Judas was right there with Jesus, but he made a choice. Did he make the right choice?
No.
No. But there were consequences. Yeah? And so, we need to understand that there are no shortcuts to the kingdom of heaven. There are no shortcuts to the kingdom. How many ways to heaven? How do we know that? How do we know that? The Bible tells us where. Where does the Bible tell us that? John 14, verse 6. Jesus said what? I am the way. Not a way, the way. Yeah? And so, some things we need to understand from these verses that we've read. Here in verse 26 of Matthew 20, Jesus said, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. What's another name for servant? What's another word for servant? What's that? Amber. What's another name or word that we can use instead of a servant? Minister.
Minister, yeah.
Minister. The word minister just means, you hear in this country, minister. Minister of the environment, minister of labor, whatever. Servant simply means servant. Our English word, you get the English word here in verse number 26, deacon. What's a deacon? What's a deacon? What does the deacon do?
He serves.
He serves. Yeah? He's like a waiter. It's like a waiter. He stands ready to serve people. Yeah? That's what the deacons are for in the church, to serve the members. And so the word servant in verse 27 says, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. That's a different word. That's a different word. The Greek word is doulos. Doulos. Yeah? The word servant in Matthew 20 and verse 27 means slave. Now here's the interesting thing. Not every servant was a slave, but every slave was a servant. Not every servant was a slave, but every slave was a servant. When you go to work, you know what the word employee means? Do you know what the word employee means? Employee, what does that mean? This is my employee, or these are my employees. What are they? The slaves. The slaves. Now, in our mind, in man's mind, we have made the word slave a negative word. Yeah? We have made, in our modern world, the 21st century mindset, the word slave is negative. But in the first century, a person could become a slave voluntarily. That was the only way you could survive. Yeah? So, every one of us are somebody's slave. Did you know that? Yeah. When you go to work, you volunteer. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Because you want a reward. Isn't that right? And that's what they were saying in, remember the parable of in the vineyard? The man hired some early in the morning, he hired some noon, and he hired some at the 11th hour. And what did they get paid? They all got paid the same. Were they all happy?
No.
Would you be happy? If Barbara comes and she's working 1 hour, she's getting the same paycheck as you, what you saying? What you saying? Huh? Lord, you're going to run up there to the boss and say, listen, I've been out, that's what they said, but we were out here working in the hot sun all day, and she came and worked 1 hour, you gave her the same money. And what do you tell her? You take your money and keep it moving. Because I can pay him whatever I want. Turn with me to, because you look like you're interested in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I didn't bring this up the last time. Romans chapter 4. And can someone read verses 1 through 4?
What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has come? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had therefore to glory, but not before God. For what had the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the word, not reckoning of grace, but of that of death. But to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified him, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's good, huh?
Yes, that's good. So, Paul says to the church in Romans, verse 4, he asks a question. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? What did Abraham do in Genesis 15? God called Abraham and told him to what? Do what? To leave his country. He'd never seen it before. And what did Abraham do?
He obeyed
God. Without seeing, he trusted God. What did Abraham do? He exercised his faith. Huh? So somebody greater than him gave him an instruction. He didn't even see where he was going, but he exercised his faith. And he says in verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Yeah? What does the word justify mean? Justify. The answer's in the word. Justification is a legal term. So that when Abraham acted, God looks at him just as if I had not seen. Even though I am simple, although I am worthy, because of my faith in God, God looks at me just as if I had not been unrighteous. Isn't that interesting? It's a man. And that's not based on works. It's not based on anything I've done. Huh? That's God's grace. That's God's grace, yeah? So, he said if Abraham was justified by his flesh, he's got something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham did what? Verse 3. Believed God. Who?
God.
And it was accounted, some translations say reckoned for righteousness. That's an accounting term. So, because of my effort, because of my faith, God gives me credit for my effort. Although I sin and fall short daily, Lord, I'm still trying. And God gives me credit for the effort. Yeah? I don't feel like doing it, Lord. I don't understand it, Lord, but I'm still going to try today to get up and do my best for you. And God gives me credit for my effort. You know what? You know why we stumble sometimes? Because we fall down and we stay down. Isn't it interesting? God expects for us to drag ourselves up and keep moving. Yeah? And so, and it's the blood of Jesus, according to 1 John, that cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. And he says it's accounted to him for righteousness. What is righteousness? Right standing before God. Because of my faith in God and the effort I put into. So he says in verse 4, now to him who works, that's us, that's the employee. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Because guess what? When you go to work, you go to work to get paid, isn't that right? And so that's a debt. You give your effort, the job gives you a wage. That's in the flesh, but we're talking about spiritual things. Verse number 5. But to him who does not work, but instead believes on him who what? Justifies. Who's that? That's God. Yeah? Lord, I'm unworthy. I don't even deserve it, Lord. Who justifies the ungodly, his what? His faith is accounted for what?
Righteousness.
For righteousness. So when you go to work, who are we going to work for? For God. Now, the benefit is that you got a wage, but our eternal reward, because we're talking about what? Service. Who are we serving? We should be serving God. Yeah? Because guess what? It's easy for us to do good when the boss is watching us. Isn't it right? When the manager's there, when the supervisor's there, when folks are watching us, we're doing, oh yes, but yes sir, I'm clocking in on time, I'm doing everything on time. But when the cat's away, huh? What's gonna happen? We don our tools, we act the fool, isn't it right? Does God owe us anything? But the Bible says what? Romans chapter 6, 23. Romans 6, 23 says what? Romans 6, 23. Says what? Romans 6, 23.
For the
wages. Everybody wants a wage. The wages of sin
is death.
Huh? So if you keep on sinning, you know what the right thing to do is, but you're not doing it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a wage. You've been working real hard for this, but you're going to say, I'm dropping out of money. So, but this is your reward. For the wages of sin is what?
Dead.
But the gift, why is it? It's not a wage, but it's a gift. God gives you a gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life where? In Christ Jesus also. Just imagine now, on Judgment Day, God's going to be there. Who else is going to be there on Judgment Day? Satan. Who's Satan taking with him? Who is Satan taking with him? The folk that have been working for him. He said, listen, you've been employed in the month for a long time. You come on with me, here's your reward. Huh? Like Bob Barth used to say, come on down. And folk come running down for their products. He said, no, I don't want it. No. Because if you've not been serving the Lord.
Automatically.
Huh? Each of us are somebody's slave. Somebody's slave. So there are no shortcuts to heaven. There are many who want to exercise authority, but few who want to take the towel and basin and wash feet. Remember when Jesus and John pulled on that apron and washed the disciples' feet? What did he do there? To show humility. To show humility. Huh? You got some folk. Have you ever seen your manager go in and clean the toilets at your job? Ever see that happen? Would you do? Yeah. That's service. There's no job too big or too small in the kingdom. Isn't that right? Yeah. Well, when we get to that, we'll make you interested. And so, some things we need to understand. The key to greatness is not found in positional power, but in what? What is character? What is character? What did we say character is? Character is who you are when nobody's watching. Character is who you are when nobody's watching. That's the real you. I'm just saying. And so we got a throne by what? Paying with our lives, not praying with our lips. Huh? You know how we ask God, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, guess what I'm going to do? How many of us have prayed that prayer? Lord, if you get me out of this trouble, I'm going to do better. Maybe it's just me. Huh? And then we come back and we say the same prayer over and over with our lips. With our lips. And so we must identify with Jesus Christ and his service and what? No, we don't want to suffer. Huh? But suffering is a part of life. Suffering is a part of life. That's the reality of life. For even he could not reach the throne except by way of what? The way of the cross. All of us are going to have to take that way. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. It's not going to be a secret, but I'm going to tell you. One of the most interesting and fascinating things about Christianity is watching people. It's watching people. In those unguarded moments, when trouble comes, that's when character shows up. When trouble comes, that's when character shows up. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 says, therefore, what is therefore? Therefore, as a result of what was said before. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, and if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, Paul says, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. Ain't that what was happening in Matthew 20? Selfish ambition. Or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem who? Let each esteem others better than himself. We have a hard time doing that. Yeah. You just watch folk in the grocery stores now. Everybody wants to be the first person in the line. Everybody wants to have the best parking spot up front. Everybody wants to get the best pick of the vegetables. Everybody wants me first. Huh? You don't care if you have to run over somebody to get what you're gonna get. That each one esteem others better than himself. And then he says in verse 4, let. There's a lot of let. Let not your heart be troubled. That word let, if you're taking notes, it's a technical term. It's called a permissive imperative. In other words, it's something you have to volunteer for. It's not a command. It's something you must volunteer. It's an attitude. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's the same thing that verse 3 says. It's just said another way. Then he says, here's another let. Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ. The mind is an attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus do? Who, being in the form of God, so Jesus is God in the flesh. What did he do? Did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of what? No reputation. He's not a reverend. He's not the honorable. He's not the chief. He's not anybody. He says, I'm no one. No reputation. And what else did he do? Taking the form of a what? What's a bond servant? A slave. Say it now. A slave. Huh? Imagine. Just imagine. Imagine. King Charles comes through that door and is coming with a tray of tea to come and serve you. But he's chewing just like he puts on his pants one leg at a time, just like you. Huh? He gets sick like you and me. He gets a cold. He has to sleep. He has to eat just like you. He has nobody here. Huh? He can't cook the truth. Amen. You see that? Huh? He took on the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of who? You and me. And verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, what else did he do? He humbled himself and became obedient. How far did he take that? Even to the point of death, even the death of what?
The cross.
The cross. Are you going to die? Are you going to die? Am I going to die? Yes, Hebrews 9:27, it's the point of the man wants to die. Huh? He's going to die. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him. Why did God highly exalt Jesus? Because of what these verses say before. It won't matter how many degrees you have. It won't matter how much money you have. It won't matter how good you thought you'd be on this earth. It will be based on your attitude towards God and service. Yeah? And giving him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, guess what's going to happen? Verse number 10, what's going to happen? Every knee shall bow. So, you know what this verse says? If you don't bow to Jesus over here, you're going to bow to Jesus over there. You'll be able to do it voluntarily over here, or you'll do it by force. Huh? Did you know that when you on judgment day you won't have any titles? There will be no titles in heaven on judgment day. Every one of us will stand naked and bare before him. Every knee shall bow. And guess what else is going to happen? Of those in heaven and of those on earth, and of those where? Under the earth. And that every tongue should do what? confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And here's another 34 verse 7. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in where? The boss is away. He says, do what? Work out your own salvation. How? With meekness. You know what workout means? You gotta go in and it's gonna take some effort. Anybody ever worked out? You know, January 1st, folks have been making all these New Year's resolutions. I'm gonna go to the gym, I'm gonna lose some weight. Folks go out to the gym, they got the new outfit. And the next day, after you've been to the gym, how do you feel? Because no pain, work out your own. It's going to have to be, what did we say, church? It's going to have to be some suffering. But you know what we want? We want it easy, don't we? You will not end up in heaven by mistake. You will not end up in heaven by mistake. It's going to cost you something. Yeah? And so, Jesus wants us to understand that service is important. If we want to improve our praying, we must improve our service. If we are serving him and others, then we will not be able to pray selfishly. If we can honestly say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, then he will say to us, speak, servant, for thy Lord heareth. If our prayers do not make us better servants, then there's something wrong with our prayers. And so here's the question. Do our prayers make us easier to live with? Do our prayers make us easier to live with? The two disciples prayed selfishly and threw the fellowship into an uproar. And do our prayers make us more like Jesus? Do our prayers make us more like Jesus? Do our prayers cost us anything? Lord, give me. Well, how many times have we prayed, Lord, take it away? Lord, if this is not your will, close this door. Prayer in the will of God does not mean escape. It means involvement. If our prayers do not bring us near to the cross, then those prayers are out of the will of God. And so, the end of these events in Matthew 20 is found in verses 29 through 34. Can someone read that for us? Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34.
As Jesus and the disciples were living in Jericho, a large crowd was following. Two blind men who were sitting by the roadside, and Jesus was passing by. So they began to shout, "Son of David, take pity on us, sir." The crowd scolded them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, take pity on us, sir." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked them. They answered, "We want you to give us our sight." Jesus had pity on them and touched their eyes. At once they were able to see and follow them. Amen.
Amen. Good stuff. So, the two individuals, individuals in this story were Bartimaeus. We find that out in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52, and his friend. Both of them were blind. Jesus is on his way out of the city, and here Jesus puts into practice what he just taught the disciples. What was the point of the previous verse of service? Service to others. Yeah? He became a servant I'd say it should say two, to two rejected flawed beggars. Notice, if you will, in the text, it says, and behold, two blind men, verse 30, sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. They couldn't see. They just heard that Jesus was coming by here. They said, listen, we need to get this man's attention. We need to get his attention. Yeah? The multitude warned them that they should be quiet. You remember earlier in Matthew, when the children wanted to come to Jesus, what were they saying? Get rid of them. Get rid of them. But did that discourage these men? Did the crowd discourage these men? They warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them back. Something got Jesus' attention. He asked them one question. What do you want me to do for you? What did they ask Jesus for? Lord, that our eyes may be open. You remember that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was what? Have you been blind before? Yes. We've all been blind. We've all been blind. Yeah? Because the world will blind us to the sin that's around us. The world will blind us to who we really are. When we look in the mirror, who do we really see? Who do we want to see? We tell ourselves a lot of lies. It's not that big. I've got time. I'm not as big as that person over there. Yeah? And so, he became a servant. The crowd around Jesus tried to silence the two men. After all, what claim did they have on this great teacher? But Jesus, what did Jesus do? He had, the Bible says, had compassion. What is compassion? What does the word compassion mean? Compassion. Compassion. What does that mean? I've given you that definition before. What does compassion mean? What's that? An old good one? What does the word compassion mean? In their shoes. In their shoes. That's cool. If pity is a pity, no, it's more than pity. Compassion means your pain in my heart. Your pain in my heart. You ever hear somebody tell you some bad news and you just have that feeling in your gut? That's compassion.
Is this same as empathy?
It's not empathy. What is empathy? Empathy. Empathy means you can relate to something, but you never been through it yourself. You see, somebody tells you, I just lost my mom. You never lost a mom because you can't. So you can empathize, like, I'm really sorry for your loss. That's empathy. You know, if you need anything, I'm here for what compassion. Your pain in my heart. Do you remember the story of the, who was it? The man, the what's the story of the man that was coming along and saw that man on the side of the road? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan. What did he do? He didn't just feel that man's pain, he got involved. Huh? But you know, you're like walking. Right, you saw the head, you look. But you do nothing. That's being involved. Put compassion. He had compassion on these men. And what did he do? Love and action. He touched them. Touched their eyes. Did Jesus have to touch these men? Did he have to touch their eyes? No. He could have spoken a word, couldn't he? Huh? Yesterday we were out to the store outside of Martin Spencer's. It was a homeless man sitting outside, as they often are. And I just stood over to the side and just watched people interacting with that man. Good morning, morning. Some folks didn't make eye contact with him. Some folks didn't talk to him. Some folks ignored him. Could that have been Jesus sitting right there? Nothing. What does the Bible say? Don't forget to entertain strangers. Why? Because you may be entertaining who? Angels on the way. That's an opportunity. That service. But you know, don't make a lot of contact. If I don't look over there, compassion. The crowd around them tried to silence these two men, but Jesus had compassion on them and healed them. He became, or he was, a servant even to who? Are we beggars? Yes. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the Lord, poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. See, we got to connect all of these scriptures together. Every day God puts opportunities in front of us. Every day God puts opportunities in front of us for service. For service. Every day. When you come to the church building, when you're sitting in the church building, when you need the church building, all during the week, opportunities for service. Well, some of us failed the exam, you know why? Because of it, just like those verses, we're selfish. We only think about ourselves. If that song, make me a servant, Lord, make me. For you are a servant, make me one too. Service to others is service to you. So make me a servant, make me like. Don't pray that song anymore. Don't sing that song anymore. You love it, but are you practicing it?
Yes. I'm trying.
Love in action. Even to the folk that don't deserve it. Listen, the last 2 weeks on the job have been some of the worst 2 weeks I've had. I love my job. But these people, when I say to myself, Aaron, Lord, make me a I've got to have compassion for people. Because I'm in the people business. I am in the people business. If you don't like people, get out of that job. Hello, welcome, how can I help you? And they're shutting down the phone. Cost you out, call you every name in the book. God bless you. You have a wonderful because if they did it to Jesus, the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I have to remind myself of that, brother George. This is real. This is real Christianity. I can't be something up here and something where you don't see me different. I can't be that. I've got to be like Jesus, just like you. I've got feelings just like you. Amen. And so, this chapter has some hard things for us to receive and practice. Information leads to education, leads to transformation, leads to application. All of us have information, which should lead to education, which is an invitation for transformation, and transformation leads to application. The word is no good until you activate. You've got to put it into practice. Faith without works is dead. Lord, I've got faith on your words. You will be judged based on your faith translated into your words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God will not tell you well done unless you've done well. But who are you working for? Self. Okay, self gets a reward. My Lord. sent me down there to their hospital to put up with those patients. You sent me over to their job, and Lord, you knew it wasn't easy, but you say if you put in the effort, it will be reckoned for righteousness, just like Abraham. Abraham trusts God, and God gave him credit for the effort. Yeah? So, the choice is ours. Yeah, he had compassion on these men. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him very quickly. If we love the things of this world, we cannot serve God supremely. If we are not yielded completely to his will, we cannot obey him unreservedly. And finally, if we seek glory for ourselves, or if we compare ourselves with other believers, then we cannot glorify him. Don't base your faithfulness on what I do or don't do. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author, and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't worry about what goes on down here. You always keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. These men were blind. Jesus gave them sight so that they could serve him and serve others. May God bless you, and may God bless you. Next week, Lord willing, we'll begin chapter 21. Jesus prepares to go to the cross, and we'll see the events that lead up to that and all the challenges that he faced. Yeah? The triumphal entry. And then he will continue his parables. He's preparing his disciples for his departure. And so I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 21 in its entirety, the lessons there, because there are many warnings in these verses. And there are things in here that you can learn and apply to our day-to-day lives. Thank you.